The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Wonderful, What's Happening, Wowzers, We Don't Quit Wednesday. And we praise God from whom all blessings flow, and they continue to flow through Jesus Christ. First up, how our life develops is important, how our Christian journey develops is important, and how they both depend on God is also important. Next, to keep going, watch this. To keep going is the only way to keep going. Okay. To keep going is the only way to keep going. It's precisely when you want to give up and quit that the maturity moment arrives for us to push past it all. And finally, there's a method to this madness we call faith. There's an example of how to engage with it. The answer, now and always, is more of Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more, eh? Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You know you can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You can also call us, 972-445-0770. That's for praise reports, prayer requests, pop questions, and trivia. And I have a couple of really interesting trivia questions today. So if you are into the trivia, get ready. Here we go. When David had to face Goliath, okay? David had to face Goliath. I'm going to give you four to choose from. He, A, got three rough stones. B, got five smooth stones. C, got five rough stones. Or D, got three smooth stones. A, B, C, or D? It's your first big multiple choicer of the week. Let me know if you think you know the answer. You're welcome to text in. You're welcome to call in. One way or another, reach out to us. Keep in mind, everything is open for conversation in this show because it's not professional radio. No, there's nothing professional about this radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Keep in mind all the things that I've been saying all along with Terrific T, with the team, with what the Word says, with what other preachers are saying, with what other teachers are saying, with what other churches are saying, with what other believers are saying. It's pretty much straightforward. Our DNA, draw closer to the Lord. That's our D. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? No. Do you know what's going to happen a week from tomorrow? No. Do you know who knows what's going to happen? Yes, he's God. God knows what's going to happen. He knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. Just think about this. If he already knows and he's got you covered, you might be in good hands. Okay? More than an insurance company, you might just be in good hands when you're in the hands of the Lord. So draw closer to him. Never be ashamed. Always be ready. That's the Christian DNA. All right? Okay. All right. You ready to do a little bit of Yiddish dictionary? Are you ready for some Yiddish? What do we got for our song?
Hava, nagila, hava.
You got We gotta get that. We gotta get that long version. Get the long version. It's just too much fun. Here we go. Have you ever heard of this word? This is our Yiddish dictionary. Just trying to help people move along and understand what's going on. Have you heard this expression, Mazel Tov? Mazel Tov. Right? You've heard of that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Do you think? What do you think that kind of? You don't have to be just ballpark it. You know, that kind of sounds.
Is it like welcome or hello?
It's more like this. It's more like a congratulations, like you won the lottery. Mazel Tov.
Oh,
you got a new car. Mazel Tov. You got a new job. Mazel Tov. Your son is having a bris. Not Mazel Tov for him, but for you. I mean, this, you know, it's that kind of thing. Attend any bar mitzvah or a Jewish wedding, you'll hear that phrase, Mazel Tov, used almost every other word.
I've never thought of it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that's what it is. So it's people say it when you want to congratulate them or, you know, kind of bless them or even wish them good luck. It's kind of a celebratory appropriate to shout out, Mazel Tov! You know, it's like, oh, that's great, right? So if the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl, Mazel Tov for the Dallas Cowboys. Okay? All right. There you go. Now you're Yiddishy more wise. I don't know what Yiddishy is, but we're just going to use it as kind of a verb adjective kind of mix. Yiddishy.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, got to go with that. Hebrews chapter, we are something else. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Don't forget our question. David had to face Goliath. He had to pick up what kind of stones? It's either 3 rough stones, 3 smooth stones, 5 rough stones, or 5 smooth stones, or 3 smooth stones. But if you know how many stones, call in. There you go. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I told you it's not professional. Here we go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin so that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Ooh, this is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, just following Hebrews chapter 11. For those that don't know, Hebrews chapter 11 is the Hall of Fame of faith. It's where you get all the different people doing all the great things of faith. You get Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, what happens is people think that the things that they do, your efforts are most pleasing to God. And the Lord's response is, well, you believing me is the most pleasing thing. You having faith in me that I'm a rewarder, and that I'm here, and that I'm a rewarder of those who seek me. But here's something I want you to catch, and you're not going to like all of it. It's not, I didn't write this. It's not my fault. You cannot get mad at me. I guess you could get mad at me, but you really can't get mad at me. Here it is. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, that'd be in Hebrews chapter 11, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, which means that no matter what the sin is that you're kind of caught up in and trapped in, it doesn't own you. It just says it owns you. It's actually a trespasser, which you have the right to get off your property. It's trying to squat in your life. That's kind of what's going on there. But it's the last part of this verse that people want to get away from because they don't want to get into, you know, God being in control mentality. It says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So there's a twofold element in this portion. It says that we're supposed to run with a perseverance, with a continuance, with a never giving up. That's why you heard me say the best way to not give up is to not give up. The best way to not give in is to not give in. The best thing that you can do when you're at the end of the rope is to push past it to the next rope. And it's like, well, that sounds so hard. That sounds so hard. That's our responsibility to keep on going. But listen to what the passage says, and here's what you got to catch. Let us run with perseverance the race, which in the Greek means it's either a contest or a fight or a race-a-thon. It's kind of like Olympics and they're racing, if you want to think of it in some term, and you're trying to do the best you can. But it says the race that's marked out for us. That's prakamehi. Prakamehi. You can go around saying to people, prakamehi, prakamehi, prakamehi. And what that means is it's actually what has been ordered or what is destined. And yes, the word destined is actually one of the translations for the phrase marked out. And so there's something that you and I need to catch, and that is along this map, along this journey, along this race that you don't know the next steps to. and that you're required to run it with or walk it or stay in it, and in this case it's run it, with a perseverance, with a steadfastness, with a willingness to never give up and never quit. Regardless of that being on you, there is a destiny that God has for you. There is a plan. There is a purpose. Now, I know what most people are thinking because I think this too. I think it's pretty much what most people think, and that is, well, first of all, it'd be nice to know what the plan is. Second of all, I'd like to get a telegram that says, this is a telegram from God. Here is the plan. Although that never happens, I'd still like to get one. I don't care if it's Western Union or not. I just want it to say, this is from God, you know, and then sparkles and, you know, rainbows and stuff like that. And then the other part of that is recognizing that God actually knows, get this, he knows what he's doing. It's like, what? And he's got this mapped out for you and I, and yes, you and I don't get to see all of the curves and all of the bumps and all of the obstacles, and we don't understand the fullness of the map because our view is from the wrong side of the map. See, God's looking at it downwardly, so he's looking over the whole thing. We're looking at it upwardly going, I don't get it. And so the idea is for us to have this confidence that that which God has marked out for us is awesome. Wait. Because he is awesome. So your belief on what your life is going to be, what this plan is, what this map is, your belief that it's going to be good, bad, or indifferent will be directly related to your perception of who God is. If you perceive God to be a mean, ogre father who is abusive, that's how you're going to see your map. If you perceive God as being loving and kind and the perfect parent, only doing the things that he does in order to be a blessing for his children and to help his children, then that's how you're going to see the map. So, how do you see the map? Because if you see it in that really intense and negative light, the devil has won a bit, just like he did with Eve when he said, you mean you can't eat that tree? You can't eat all the trees? You can't eat all the trees? I can eat 9,000 of them. Just one I can't eat from. You can't eat all the trees? And he tried to shift the focus onto the negative. And if you think that your map, your destiny is bad, that's a little bit of how you perceive God. Did you get that? I know you did. I know you did. David had to face Goliath, and he picked up 5 smooth stones. Some people say it's 5 because he wanted to be prepared. Other people say there were 4 extra because Goliath had 4 brothers. Interesting. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Who is David Spoon?
We have on the line Tina from Elkhorn. Tina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I am doing great.
Is this the first time you've heard the show?
No, I listen to you every time I get into my car when I leave my job.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Is there anything that we can be praying for just to be in agreement with you regarding anything that the Lord's working on in you?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, fire away.
First of all, I'd like to see my family's hearts turned. Second of all, I am not putting God first, and I'm not being obedient in certain ways. Let me sum it up a little bit. I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
I should answer it. So I really need prayer to get back on track with God.
Okay. Let me pray with you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we just come before you right now, and we lift up Tina to you, and we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that first and foremost you would work on her family's hearts, that there'd be a softening and that there'd be a grace and a mercy given to the family and between the relationship that Tina has with the family, and we just pray that your mercy would prevail, and we just pray that you would encourage her. Instead of this being a discouragement, let this become an encouragement that she is a daughter of the Most High seeking out help from her Heavenly Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video. But you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okie dokie. Let's see. You know you can reach out to us, 214-210-8483. You can call us, 972-445-0770. Don't be afraid. The phone will not blow up. Terrific T will get the phone. She'll be very nice to you. She might even give you the lotto numbers. Okay, no, she won't. She might give you $20. Okay, no, she won't. But she'll be nice. I mean, that's all you need, right?
No!
That's what you have to face, folks. 972-445-0770. Now, watch this. I'm going to give a trivia question. And I use multiple sources for my trivia questions. Sometimes I just open the Bible and just pull them out. Sometimes I use a book. So I have this book, and I've used this book for years. And I just read this trivia question and found out that the trivia answer was wrong. I mean, I looked at it, and I said, well, that's not right. And so I went and I double-checked. So I'm going to allow space in this one because I think a lot of people don't recognize a particular verse. So I'll just say it real simply, give you a chance. You can call in. You're not going to get it wrong one way or another because it's a little sneaky in how it is. But who was the first person mentioned in the Bible as laughing? There you go. I mean, that's just like, wow, what? That's a real trivia. Who was the first person mentioned as laughing? Okay. We're getting ready to play our sound here. Don't forget our awesome website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. I like it. We'll just go a little slower, but I think that's really just about right where it is. Okay. This is T and I doing production work while we're doing the show. Well, I don't care. Okay. Don't forget about giving to us. If you have that opportunity to give, we love that. We'd appreciate it. It's a fantastic thing. 1 Corinthians 1:11 talks about joining. Romans 15:30 talks about joining. If you give, I'm not giving you anything in return in the sense that I'm not sending you a penny or a Bible that's anointed. Can you imagine somebody saying, I'm going to send you a Bible that's anointed? You mean you have a better anointing than the Holy Spirit? Wow! Anyhow, my pull point in that is if you're investing in the kingdom and you like the show and it's a blessing, then help support us and we'll continue it and keep it going. And if not, no problem. Yeah, that's fair. I think that's fair. If I start selling candy bars, I think that's the time you guys ought to change channel. Especially if I go, they're holy nugget candy bars. Something just so bizarre. Just stay away from that. Okay, here we go. This is my favorite thing to do today, and I didn't even get a chance to tell Tiara about this, so I'm going to tell her now. So get ready for the holidays. This one day might be the best day of all days besides my birthday. Number one, it's hammock day. Nobody can complain about that. Hammocks, that's very cool. It's a rat catcher's day. I have no idea what that is. The only thing I could think of was James Cagney in "You Dirty Rat, You Killed My Brother." You know, that kind of thing. I couldn't think of anything else. National Hot Dog Day. Okay, got that. But here it is, my favorite thing in the whole world. It's Spoonerism Day. Da-da-da-da-da. Spoonerism Day.
You're killing me, Smalls.
That's exactly right. William Archibald Spooner. Born on this day in 1844, he studied at Oxford University, went on to lecture there for 60 years. He focused on philosophy, divinity, and history. He was an Anglican priest, not a big guy or anything like that, but he was famous for spoonerisms. And a spoonerism is when you take the first word of one word and misapply it to another word and take that other first letter of that word and misapply it. So instead of saying, "Let me show you to your seat," you would say, "Let me sew you to your sheet." And so it kind of comes out like, whoops, I said that wrong, right? Is that funny?
The spoonerism.
The spoonerism. And so one of his more famous wedding moments, he said, "It is customary to cuss the bride." Come on. Is that hilarious?
Okay, that was kind of good.
Come on now. That's good. And I'm not going to say this whole thing because people will get really mad at me, and I've done this once before. But you have to just remember that it's inverting the word. So instead of all of the fiery darts that come from Satan, you could say there's diary. Okay, I'll just leave that there and let you figure out how the rest of that goes. It's just funny. It's just one of those things that people do. It's a slip of the tongue, but it's called a spoonerism. Love this day. Isn't that great?
Right, I like it. Who would have thought?
That's right. It's celebratory, folks. Okay. Only thing I want to say on history is this day in 1980, there was a strike by the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, which is AFTRA, in regards to the Screen Actors Guild SAG strike. The strike boycotted that year's Primetime Emmy Awards, but then they stopped the strike because nobody watched the Emmys. So that was a waste of time. So that's not. Do you like that? It's kind of a dig.
That is a dig.
That is a little bit of a dig. It's pretty funny, though. Okay. Here we go. Hebrews chapter. So we just talked about Hebrews chapter 12, 1. And don't forget, we got our trivia question out there. Who is the where was the first person mentioned laughing in the Bible? Where's the first mention? We talked about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, about understanding how we have a destiny. We have a map. We have a route marked out for us by God. You don't know what all the route is, but he knows what the route is. And so there's a call to perseverance on our end. Here is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36, because that's how it starts, understanding that there is a path, there is a map, there is a route, there is a destiny. But there is a promise that goes with this, and this is where you get some of your strength. This is where I get some of my strength. It says, "Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." Now, there are a lot of people that will use this passage and try to apply it to business and to, you know, especially if you're in the sales department or something like that. Don't throw away your confidence, it'll be richly rewarded. And that's fine. That's not what the passage is talking about. But that's, you know, if you want to, you know, boost yourself up and you're going to use scripture, okay, I mean, that's fine. But the bottom line of not throwing away your confidence has to do with persevering in your faith. It doesn't have to do with persevering in your job. I wish it had to do with persevering and working out, because then I could use it. It doesn't. That doesn't mean I haven't used it. I'm just saying that's not what its core is. That's not what its essence is. We need to persevere after we've done the will of God in order to receive what he has promised. The problem that happens for a lot of Christians, I'm talking about practical, Bible-believing, born-again Christians, the problem that happens is that we will do or go about or function in or at least put our hands to the best we understand, accomplishing the will of God. And then because we don't get rewarded in a certain time frame, then we abandon. Okay? It's the thing that I do. I'll tell you something that I just did today. I'm guilty about it. I knew I shouldn't have done. I just... So I got up this morning and I, you know, said to Noelle, I said, these people haven't posted this payment again. And so they haven't changed the status on the account again. Just to give you an idea, I've been dealing with this for 26 days. And I've talked to them 15 times. And I just know in my heart, the Lord was like, let it go. Just be patient. Let it go. And what did I do? Yeah, I didn't let it go. I got on the phone, and I was not – I wasn't unpleasant because I feel bad for people in that position because I don't feel it's necessarily their fault. There's a glitch in the system. But I did point out, if you will note in the log, I have been calling since June 27th, and I have a fifth – this is now my 15th call. And she was like, yeah. To see all my calls. My problem was I just couldn't hang on. I had to do something. I had to act. It's going to be taken care of outside of my phone call because it was already in the system, already being taken care of. But I didn't like the way it was being taken care of, so I needed to interject and help God. Completely useless. And it took 40 minutes away from my structure of my day where I was supposed to be reading Proverbs and doing certain things, which I had to delay to do. My whole point in that is that we get impatient and then you just go, no, I'm going to do this. Or no, it's going to be this. Or, no, I can't wait. And then you or I, and in this case me, we put our hands to it to try and make it happen when the Lord has it covered all around already. And you can't forget, it's kind of an important element, that there's a promise that the Lord says, look, if you do what you're supposed to do, if you just persevere, you're going to receive what's been promised. You're just going to have to be patient and have to wait. And because Abraham received a promise from God and he didn't maintain that patience and neither did Sarah, they created Ishmael. And that created a whole lot of problems. And a lot of us are really good at creating our own Ishmaels. When in fact, we need to let it go after we've done the best that we can, lay it before the Lord and say, it's in your hands. I'll wait on you. And there's a promise that we will receive if we can maintain that perseverance, maintain that patience position, maintain that attitude. But that is connected to a if. Got to maintain that confidence that God will deliver in the perfect time, okay? All right. In regards to who laughed first, technically you could say it's Sarah, and that'd be Genesis 18, 12 through 13. But there's also a reference to Abraham laughing within himself in Genesis 17, 17. So technically, I would say Sarah / Abraham. That's your answer. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry.
What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A couple things to tell you before we even get to trivia. That is, tomorrow is our second expository teaching on Philippians. So get ready, because we're going to be starting with Philippians 1:6, a very well-known verse. Some pretty interesting things in there, I think, that you perhaps may enjoy. Got a lot of other things taking place. Also, don't forget, I'm going to be speaking a week from Sunday, which, if you are welcome to come to, it's in Rowlett, so it's a lot farther away for a lot of people. But you can watch online through Facebook or through YouTube. You can either go to our website, hemustincrease.org, or you can go to Stillwater.org. Community Church. Stillwater, two words. Water, they don't use waters, they use water. Okay, so Stillwater Community Church. Okay, so technically water is a plural. Okay, it's not important. He's a grad from Dallas D. You know, it's just like, he's got nothing. Okay, if that's what you like, I support you. Okay, here we go. 972-445-0770 to call in on this trivia. If, in fact, you want to text, you can, 214-210-8483. Here's our trivia question. Which one of Noah's sons looked at Noah's nakedness? Which one of Noah's sons looked at Noah's nakedness? You can call in on that one, or you can text 214-210-8483. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. I like that. So even a little slower, but that's exactly the track we want to go. Okay. T and I are in one mind and one accord. You need to pray for her. She's tired. She's had a long day doing a lot of hard work for us. She's working on – she doesn't just work on my stuff. She works on all this other stuff, which is like, you know, yowza, okay? I mean, that's a lot of stuff to do. Me, I just have to drive, although I do have to duck quite a bit apparently when I'm driving. I don't know. Let's see. Let's hear from our ministry partner.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is.
He gets the situation well in hand. fire and water damage cleanup, smoke, wind, and flood cleanup, sewage removal, and other restoration services in and around the entire Texas area. If you've got something going on and you need restoration help, Mr. Restore can help you. They do free evaluations. They have advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies, and they're A-plus rated with the BBB, so that's very good, UCCC. Here's the bottom line. Thousands of happy customers. You just go to MrRestore.com. Mr., M-R, Restore, R-E-S-T-O-R-E.com. If you tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience, they will send you a lollipop or something. Well, you can also connect through hemustincrease.org. Don't forget that as well. Let's see. Am I missing anything? I can't think I'm missing anything. Except for part of my brain, which, you know.
Mine's too.
Okay. We're in it together, aren't we?
Yep.
We're in it together. We're on this boat together. Here's how it goes. That's why it's called a fellowship. See, fellowship. See? Aha. See? There's reasons for these words. Which one of Noah's sons looked at Noah's nakedness? See if you can get that answer. And if you can't, if you know it, you can call in. If you want to text in, you can text in. What's our 214-210-8483? Think about it. All right, I'm going to do this teaching just a little bit different. So we talked about understanding that this is a journey. This is a map. There's a destiny here. You don't know those destined parts, but God has a plan. God has a map. God has the knitting picture all together. You're just looking at it from the backside where everything looks drippy, long, weird, or bizarre. God's looking at this perfect picture with all these perfect colors. So his view is the perfect view, and that's where our trust comes in for that process. Then we talked about the fact that not only are you on this journey, but there's got to be this sense of confidence or there's perseverance because we get impatient. And we tend to give up because God does not work with our clocks. Okay? You have a wristwatch or you have a clock in your house or clock on your phone. It's cute, but that's not the time that God uses. You think, well, that's the time that man uses. And the response is, too bad. It's like, it doesn't matter. God's time is God's perfect time. In fact, he created time. And in fact, as scripture indicates, he created time for our sake. But we'll talk about that perhaps some other time. Get it? All right. So I want to talk about this because the process of trying to persevere has some challenges. So I'm going to read you something. This is the background of Nehemiah. And in this Nehemiah background, I'm going to then talk about what Nehemiah had to encounter and the people had to encounter. And as this is part of the perseverance understanding. So let me give you a little background on the Nehemiah-Ezra situation. Ezra and Nehemiah were known as one book in the Old Testament. The kingdom of Israel was split into two. There was the southern tribe, which was Judah and Benjamin, and the northern tribe, which were all the rest. Both tribes fell into idolatry and immorality, and God judged both tribes ultimately by having nations take them captive. The people of the southern tribe, also taken captive by the Babylonians, they remained pretty much intact. When the Babylonians were beat up by the Medes and the Persians, some of the Jewish people from the southern tribe began to return to their homeland. So let's just give you a little bit of history, so you know. So 538 BC, the first group came back to Jerusalem under the leadership of Zerubbabel. He led the people in the rebuilding of the temple that was destroyed. That temple, by the way, is where Solomon prayed. In 1458, a second group of people returned under the leadership of Ezra. And Ezra was a teacher of the law and began to teach people away from foreign traditions and back to the living God. Then Nehemiah came about 14 years later, and he was there to help them finish rebuilding the city of his forefathers. God had put it in his heart, the need to fix the city walls. And you think, well, why? Well, the city with broken walls was considered a broken, vulnerable, and incomplete city, a disgrace to other nations. Okay, so much for the wall discussion. Two full chapters on the wall. Then the walls were finished. When they were finished, they took a census of the people and they returned in the process. While they went through all of that, And that right there at Nehemiah 8, that's where the joy of the Lord is our strength, and everybody loves that, and so on and so forth. But what people miss is in Nehemiah 2, 19 through 20, they were mocked and ridiculed. In chapter 4, and verse 3 and verse 4 through 6, they were insulted and discouraged. And later in chapter 4, you find out that there's mischievous kind of activities and evil plans against them. And then you find out towards the end of chapter 4 that there's fears and anxieties and insecurities. So I want you to understand that when you and I are persevering, we're not alone in going through the perseverance process. This is laid out even in Scripture. Mocking, ridicule, insults, discouragement, evil plans, fears, anxieties, insecurities. That makes you normal. It doesn't make you abnormal. It makes you normal. But we have an answer to that process that we go through. James 1, 1 through 3. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. God, by delaying, is working into you character that reflects Jesus Christ. And we sit there and tell God, you're doing this wrong. You should be faster. Don't you know, God? Dial-up is way old. You've got to have high-speed internet, God. Let's go. And we tell the Lord how he should go about doing the process instead of persevering, trusting, believing, and receiving. And we go through all these things that everybody else, by the way, goes through. It's not a new thing. Being mocked and ridiculed, insulted, discouraged, having evil plans sent against you, fears, anxieties, and insecurities. Those are the things that Nehemiah and the people went through. That's what a lot of us go through. But sometimes, you know what you got to do? Watch this. It's going to blow your mind. After it's all said and done, you know what you got to do? Stand there. Just stand. Just stay where you're at. Stand there. Because the Lord is working in you and I something much greater, far greater. He doesn't waste any time at all in anything that he does in our lives. Only we waste the time trying to fill what we perceive is a void. But the Lord knows exactly what he's doing, and he's doing it for a purpose and for a reason beyond what you and I can see, whether you can appreciate it or not. And he doesn't veer off that path because we don't understand. Because he loves us, he stays diligent to the commitment he's made to us to make our lives blessed and better through him. So he won't let us get out of the way. He won't let us change it. He won't let you and I take over. Even if we try to, it's like, no. Even though Abraham and Sarah tried to have a baby ahead of time, God still brought about Isaac in the perfect time. That's what you got to remember. He's really good at this stuff. That's why he's God. Okay? All right. Which one of Noah's sons looked at Noah's nakedness? That would be Ham. Another reason that us Jewish people don't like Ham. Okay. Okay, laugh. It won't hurt you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. and check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
For the president of Focus on the Family, when you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh, my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Before I give the next trivia question, we did have a listener send in a question. Now, we can't always answer the questions like what I call them pop questions, but sometimes we can, or at least I can give a little bit of insight. And they just wanted to know, you know, you've got predestination and free will. You know, how do you kind of work through that? Or, you know, because it does, there is ample evidence for both predestination and free will. So that should be a big key for everybody right there. See, there's ample evidence for both. Okay, so this is like one of the big keys. The big key is an understanding that from the human perspective, there is free will. But from the divine perspective, there is predestination. And how you see that or understand that is in the passage in Timothy where it says, the Lord knows them that are his, and this is in the same verse, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So from the divine point of view, it's kind of solid, but God's not telling anybody. He's not showing anybody. He's not declaring anything to anybody in the sense of revealing it. What he is doing is saying, I got it covered. You have to trust me. From the human point of view, we have to exercise that trust. He just knows, because of foreknowledge and being omniscient, all of those decisions we're going to make. You know, he's well aware, so he has foreknowledge, knows ahead of time. Plus, omniscience means all knowledge, which he knows every decision, everything everybody's ever going to make. The tension becomes when people try to sit in camps. Our camp is predestination. Our camp is free will. Well, the reality camp is it's both. So, you know, you guys, you can have your graham crackers over there, and you guys, you can have your chocolate over there, but I have a marshmallow, chocolate, and graham crackers, and I'm going to have a s'more. Get it? Okay, that's just a quick answer. Believe me, it's a lot more in depth. But I just wanted to give that person the opportunity to kind of go, oh, yeah, okay, and then just expand the thinking process. All right, let's get into our last trivia question. Little harder, not tough, but a little harder. Our next trivia question is, what is the name of the land that God told Abraham to leave? What was the name of the land that God told Abraham to leave? If you know the answer, text 214-210-8483. And if you want to call in, 972-445-1700. 1-800-875-0770. Okay. See, sometimes I can answer a pop question kind of like that kind of thing. I like the s'mores analogy. Unfortunately, now I'm hungry, which is a
thing.
I know, that was terrible. I can't believe I did that to myself. I should have been more patient and persevered and waited. Anyhow, let's go back to this whole point. Here's a big part of this question. All right, so Dave, you're talking about perseverance. You're talking about us cutting in. You're talking about us trying to take over, even like Abraham and Sarah, trying to kind of cut in for the Lord. And they're not the only couple, by the way, that loves the Lord but tries to help God along. Okay, they're one of millions of us, right? You just get to see the results in their lives, and it's pretty drastic, isn't it? But all of that, talking about we have this destiny, but we also have this requirement of perseverance. We have this call from God to say, we're going to walk the walk. And then you also have God echoing, yeah, but I got you covered. And then you have this understanding that while this process is going on, what God is doing is working in us reflections of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing. He's working into us glory by glory. Watch this. Step by step, glory by glory, to reflect Jesus. And these are the things that make it hard, and that's what sanctification is all about. But we also need the how. See, I understand. And I understand what the Lord is doing. I understand that there's a divine perspective. I understand there's a human perspective. I understand that I need to have a better perseverance attitude going on. But I need the how. I need the practical. I need the how do I wait? How do I persevere? You know that answer is in Scripture too. And it's not something that evades any of you. Everybody knows it. You just got to be reminded of it. How do we do it? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 through 3. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, King James, the captain of our salvation, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, the author. I love that translation, by the way, the author. What does an author do? Writes the book. Okay, got it. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That becomes the answer to everything. And one of my commercial plugs, or one of my things, you'll hear me talk about fixing your eyes on Jesus. Because the bottom line is that illustration that Jesus set for us is how we persevere. See, Jesus, being the creator, then being spit on and crucified by his own creation. Boy, talk about a moment of just not losing it. It's just amazing they didn't lose it. And the idea that he did it by keeping focused on the joy set before him. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. How did he get through it? The joy that was set before him. He knew what was coming after. And that's how he got through it. And then we're told, hey, when you're at that place where you're wobbly, a very theological term, wobbly, then consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you don't grow weary and you don't lose heart. Because it's easy for us to get tired. It's easy for us to lose heart. It's easy for us to kind of, oh. But by focusing and fixing our eyes on Jesus, by having a vision, by having a fixed perspective on Jesus Christ, and recognizing he set the example by going through all he went through for the joy that was set before him, he's the example set right in front of us, and we need to have our focus on him and consider him, meditate on him, be aware of him and his example in order to, for us not to grow weary, and in order for us to not lose heart. You got to get fixed in your mind and in your eyes and in your heart on Jesus Christ. And that's such a key. Look at James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because they've stood the test. That person receives the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. There's a crown for you. And yes, eternally, it's the crown of life. But there are other crowns that you hit, other markers that you hit, other milestones that you hit in the Lord. But to do that, we have to persevere. But to persevere, when we're getting weak, we need to see Jesus. I know. Well, that's, you know, you're just saying you got to think about Jesus? Well, yes, actually, I am saying that. Here's the bottom line. When you're getting weary, it's usually because you have given plenty of mind, time, and energy to that which is draining you. You've built its own little altar for it. Dusted it off. Look at it every so often. Look at this. Look at this massive mountain. Look at this. And then you put a spotlight on it. Then you talk about it with other people. Then you kind of promote it. You kind of become its own little marketer. Well, take all that energy, all that strength, all that commitment to what you're looking at that's draining the life out of you and move that over to Jesus. And then watch. Watch how powerful the Lord manifests in your own heart and mind. I mean, it's fantastic. So I'm going to give my daughter props here. It was her birthday last week and my grandson's birthday yesterday. So we don't talk a lot about that because I've been talking about that every other week. And the bottom line is she was the one who taught me this, and I give her props and credit. I only got a minute to tell you this, so I'll tell you real quickly. I was talking to her one day, and she said, yeah, well, I said, what are you up to? She said, we're doing a media fast. I said, what's a media fast? She says, we don't look at the internet. We don't look at television. We don't listen to radio. We don't do anything. We do it 24 hours. We don't pay any attention to anything. I said, what happens? She goes, you feel a lot better. I said, wow, that's genius. I'm on radio. I'm telling you, that's genius. Do that. Every so often, take 24 or even 48 or even 72 hours. Don't pay attention to any of it. Watch how much more energy and more insight and more connection you have to the Lord than the disbursement of all these things that they're trying to make you afraid of. And I'm not just talking about virus. I'm talking about everything. You'd be amazed. Keep your focus on Jesus Christ, all right? All right, so let's answer the question. What is the name of the land that God told Abraham to leave? Technically, it was the Ur of the Chaldeans. The Ur of the Chaldeans was the land that we were looking for. But I would have taken and will take anything Mesopotamia is close. Anything like that's going to be correct, okay? All right. This is would not have to be perfect. Okay, here we go, folks. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.